It's Sports with Amy Reid.
And watch Fox Sports reporter Mike Yuva on 102.3 The Fox.
Mike, so much to unpack tonight because everybody's playing everywhere. So let's start Friday Night Rivals. Tonight, Westward at Irmo. What can we expect? Who are you calling for this game?
Well, I said Irmo last week had issues with being able to close out things. They did a pretty decent job. So I think this is the type of game, though. We've seen Westwood grow over the course of the season. Irmo has a lot of talent, but I really like how Westwood has been able to get things going. So I'm going to pick the Red Hawks tonight.
When you're looking at high school teams, do they match up as far as, you know, it's all, I know they're all varsity, but, you know, age-wise, how their teams stack out?
Well, I think more than anything, you know, when you're talking about the difference with high school and college, when it comes to that aspect is, you know, the older teams are usually going to have advantages just because, you know, they understand a couple things. One, they understand what it takes to play at that varsity level. They understand what it takes in the off season, the commitment to the weight room. But on top of that, they understand the ins and outs of the experiences that you need when you're out there on the field. You know, we look at a guy like Tom Brady, who's been in the league for 20-something years. The reason why he's able to still play at a high level like he has is because he has seen pretty much everything in terms of coverage. So with high school, obviously at a much, you know, smaller scale, and you only have 4 years of high school in comparison to Tom Brady, who's, you know, the second longest quarterback to ever play the game. You know, you look at something like that, experience plays a factor. So I think sometimes when you look at these teams, you got to look at size, of course, but more than anything, it comes down to just experience and being able to have those upperclassmen that have been able to be consistent over the course of their high school careers playing at a high level.
Do you know off the top of your head, sorry to spring this on you if you don't, do we have any local commits to Gamecocks or Clemson? Any local talent that we should be keeping an eye on?
Right now, from a South Carolina standpoint, I know that there's not as much highly powered recruits that South Carolina is going after in comparison to like what we saw last year with the Jordan Burches of the world and the Alex Huntley. So it's going to be a little bit different. The state's top prospect, though, he just committed verbally because, of course, nothing is going to be in stone until you get to signing day, which will be in December. But he did not sign or commit, I should say, to either USC or Clemson.
Okay, well, so let's move on to NCAA football. Gamecocks, we have Texas A&M. They're 4-1 coming into Columbia against the 2-3 Gamecocks. What do Gamecocks need to do to have a chance against Texas this week?
Well, it starts with defense. They need to be able to stop the run. Texas A&M, they ranked first in the SEC for rushing yards per carry.
Oh, damn.
South Carolina, they struggled the last time they played, coming off this open week. You know, the week prior when they played LSU, they just could not stop a nosebleed. So they need to be able to get off the field, stop the run. That's where it all starts, because if they're not able to stop the run, Texas A&M is just going to have their way with them. And that's going to affect the offense, too, for the Gamecocks, because they're not a team based on the way of their style with their offense, their philosophy. They're not a team that can really afford to fall behind and play catch-up football. If they're down 2 scores, 3 scores early in this game, they're going to be forced to become one-dimensional and just pass the football. And that's the complete opposite of what they want to be. They say they want to be a balanced team, but with them, it all starts with the run. So if they fall behind, in large part because their defense just cannot get off blocks and make tackles, it could be a long game that can affect both phases of the game.
And Clemson, 7-0, headed to Notre Dame, who's also undefeated at 6-0. So this seems like it's going to be a hell of a game. Are you leaning towards Clemson being able to pull out a win on the road?
Well, you have a true freshman quarterback making his second career start in DJ Uiagalelei, and he looked phenomenal against Boston College last week. He didn't look like a freshman quarterback, but I think going up against a team like Notre Dame, you know, the Irish, they're going to put some more pressure on them. And I think it's going to require Clemson to be able to have a guy like Travis Etienne really step up in terms of the run game. I think this is a game that could go down to the fourth quarter, but the issue is with Notre Dame is, as good as they have been over the last couple of years, they're 28-3 in their last 31 games. But if you look at those three losses, they've been blowout losses. They struggle in primetime games. So until Notre Dame can prove to me, regardless of who the starting quarterback is for Clemson, I know it won't be Trevor Lawrence, it'll be DJ, but unless they can just show the world that they can step up in a primetime game, I think a lot of people are going to have a tough time picking them. So I'm still going with the Tigers in this one.
And how much does it matter? I mean, obviously, a lot smaller crowds at every single game. Is there such thing as a home field advantage? Or did that home field advantage strictly, were the crowds part of that home field advantage, and now that's not an issue so much?
Every place is different. I know Notre Dame has their students that are allowed to go to games, so it's a little bit louder there.
Okay.
In comparison to maybe some other places. But like you see a place like at South Carolina, you know, you've seen that crowd get loud. And they're going to need them to get loud this weekend against Texas A&M. So does it have that same feel of 80,000, 90,000 fans when you're playing on a true road game in college? No. But at the same time, too, you're able to at least create some type of home field advantage. It's just not the same. So it's important to be that's the big thing about college football. It's important to have fans in there because it can truly make a difference. Because from an offensive standpoint, when you're the visiting team, when you fall behind, that crowd's getting loud, and you're trying to communicate to the offense, you know, whether you're trying to change the play at the line of scrimmage, it gets loud. And that's where communication breaks down. And that's where you see offensive linemen making, you know, missed blocking assignments just because it's so loud because they weren't able to hear the play getting flipped by the quarterback. So in a situation like this, I think obviously it'll benefit Clemson not having to go over there and play in front of 80,000 plus fans in South Bend. But at the same time, too, it gives Notre Dame just a little bit of an advantage because they still have a home field crowd, even if it's not as much as it usually would be normal year.
And I'm pretty sure they said, I'm either making this up or I heard it and I'm just regurgitating it from ESPN on my, you know, my football Sundays, but that the games like this year for the NFL, we've had such high scoring games because the crowd isn't there and teams are able to execute quicker and more efficiently.
Yeah, and I think it's twofold. I think that plays a large part of it. But I think the other thing, too, is because of preseason, and we saw it especially early on in the year, I'm not saying that we won't see it in this back half of the schedule as we get now to week 9 of the NFL with the 49ers and Packers playing last night. But because you didn't have those preseason games at the beginning of the year, a lot of bad habits were created, which were not being able to do the fundamental things, like tackling. And I think we've seen more poor tackling this year, not just in the NFL. We've seen it in college, and that's not an excuse for every team because some teams have been able to step up. But
yeah,
some teams like South Carolina, for example, they've struggled. So we're seeing this across not just the NFL, but in college as well. And I think we can even say that we've seen it in high school, some of the games I've gone to this year and I've seen. So I think that plays a part of it in terms of just the fundamental aspects because you didn't have preseason for NFL. But I think, like you said, not having to worry when you're on the road, and I wish I had the statistic in front of me, but I know for a fact that visiting teams, they've been able to get more wins this year in comparison to years past through the first 8 weeks of the season. And a large part of that probably has to do with the fact that you're playing on the road in front of basically like a neutral site in a lot of ways, even though some of these stadiums, you know, like the Kansas City Chiefs, the Saints, over these last couple of weeks, you could even say the Carolina Panthers, they've started to allow fans to be able to go to these games, even though it's much, much smaller in comparison to what we're seeing in college.
And everybody's getting excited. And when I say everybody, I mean me, because I like to be indoors when it's chilly. So basketball has been announced, Gamecocks men and women. What are we looking at this season as far as games being played? Do we have schedules yet?
Well, we have some games that have already come out. South Carolina's women's basketball, of course, they're trying to do everything they can to be able to go out there and show people like, hey, look, you know, we have some unfinished business from last year. We were not happy with how things worked out last year. We felt like, you know, we were the number one team in the country going into the tournament. We feel like we would have had a good opportunity to be able to compete and win a national championship. And unfortunately, that was taken from them. So they're going to have the College of Charleston on the 25th. So that's the day before Thanksgiving. The big game for South Carolina, though, another out-of-conference game. This happens, I feel like, for women's basketball, South Carolina, because during the fall, you got football going on, right, and TV rights. South Carolina, they've done this the last couple of years. They'll play a non-conference game in February, which is usually unheard of for an SEC program because they're usually just playing the conference slate.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to play at UConn on February 8th. That's a Monday night.
Ooh.
That game will most likely be on ESPN or one of the ESPN stations. And that does a couple of things. One, it's a primetime matchup. South Carolina had an opportunity to beat UConn last year for the first time in program history. But the other thing, too, is it really allows the sport to grow for women's basketball. Because you're seeing two high-profile coaches in Gina Wariema and Dawn Staley, and you're able to put this women's basketball program, not programs, but just the sport, on just a high pedestal for younger female athletes to be able to watch. Because like I said, if you have that game in the fall because of the TV rights, you might not be able to see that game on a high-powered network, kind of like ESPN. So yeah. I think that's going to be tremendous to be able to see. And now I have, actually it's funny that I'm talking to you because the men's basketball program have just released their SEC schedule within the last hour. So they're going to have their first conference game is going to be at Kentucky on December 29th, and their first home game is going to be on January 6th against Texas A&M. So University of South Carolina just releasing their men's basketball conference slate, first conference game at Kentucky, December 29th, and the first home game will be against Texas A&M on January 6th. So kind of mix things up a little bit. Kind of is all over the place there with that College of Charleston game. But the women's basketball team will be playing on Thanksgiving Eve.
And Mike, I know we talked movies last week or a couple weeks ago at this point. But there's a movie on Amazon that I need you guys to watch. It's called The Lie. And it's I don't want to give anything away, but I just need you to check it out. I watched it because I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be like a scary movie. And it's more like a psychological thriller, maybe. But it was way better than I thought it was going to be, especially for like a free Amazon Prime movie. You know what I mean?
All right. I'll give it a shot. You know, after talking last week about my adventures of watching Forrest Gump for the first time, there's a lot of movies I have to catch up on that I've missed over the years. So we'll add that one to the list.
Add it to the list for sure. If people want to hang out with you, social media, if they want to check you out on Watch Fox, where can they find you? When can they see you?
They can follow me on Twitter at Mike_UVA. And then Sunday night at 10:45, between 10:45, 10:50 mark, the last 15 minutes every Sunday night, we have Sunday Extra. We take a look at every local perspective you can imagine from a sporting standpoint. We'll get you caught up on the Panthers. We'll get you caught up on all the local guys with South Carolina ties and how they did in the NFL that night. Plus, we award our pizza at the end of the show with our weight room sun hit of the week, which we give every Sunday night to a high school football player. So that's going to be 10:45 Sunday night. Watch Fox. Be sure to check it out.
Mike, thank you so much. I'll talk to you next week, man.
All right. Thank you, Amy.